that, Lord, you would dispel all the lies of the enemy. The enemy comes into our life and he tells us, Lord, that you are not who you used to be. He tells us, oh, there's nothing you can do about this. You know, this is hopeless. People are depressed and they don't have hope because they don't have faith. And Father, we come right now in the name of Jesus and we ask you, Father God, to pour out your Holy Spirit. Lord, in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, I read where their disciples prayed that you would reach out with your hands and that you would perform signs and wonders. And it says the place shook when they prayed. And so, Father, we come to you right now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up all the prayer needs. I've been getting texts this morning of people who are depressed and people who have this problem and that problem, and we lift them up to you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I believe that you can touch any situation and fix and heal. And Father, we come against faithlessness and unbelief and the lies of the enemy who tells us that, you know, God won't do this and God doesn't care about this and he doesn't even know about your problem. And those are all lies. And in the name of Jesus, we come against it. Lord, guide us this morning into all truth. Take us into the truth of your word. Lord, touch all these prayer requests that we receive every week. And Lord, we're asking you. Your word says we don't have because we don't ask. Lord, I'm asking you to reach out your hand and to bring healing and to do miracles and to show yourself strong. And then, Father God, help us to be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. But Lord, shake Walworth County and Lake Geneva today. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Teach us by your Spirit now in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Man, I am so fired up after this worship. I thought about dancing for a minute, and then I thought of the distraction. This morning, we're in Acts chapter 2. Last week, we're talking in the series about why church. Why go to church? When people say to you, you know, I don't need to go to church, and why should I go to church? And last week, we talked about worship, and we talked about the fact when you walk through the doors, you're declaring to the world your allegiance to Jesus Christ. So when somebody says to you, you know, why should I go to church? What's the reason? You know, what's the purpose? I can worship at home. You want to say, to come together for corporate worship, to declare to the world our allegiance to Jesus. Now this morning we're going to talk about fellowship, all right? And I'm in Acts chapter 2. At the end of the chapter, I'm going to begin in verse 41 and read to the end of the chapter. And this is after Peter, on the day of Pentecost, has preached the best message in the world, folks. Read it. It's awesome. And it says, those who accepted his message, Peter's message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Father, breathe life into this. But Lord, more than that, make us this kind of body. Lord, make us this kind of church today. Help us to be participants in fellowship today, like they were here in Acts 2. In Jesus' name, amen. Your first point, the corporate church gathering should contain all four things mentioned in verse 42. All right, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. We just read God's word. Matt spoke about God's Word. And then fellowship, that's koinonia. We're going to talk about that today, all right? And it says, to the breaking of bread. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together today. And to prayer, we've prayed today. These should all be part of this corporate gathering when we get together, all right? Now, your next point, declaring allegiance to God makes you part of God's family. Look around the sanctuary now, and we're family. Oh, are you excited? You see, here's the deal. Depending on your family, how do you look at that? Because for some of you, when I say family, you go, oh, no. No, you don't know my family. See, we've just come through the holidays, and you were like, oh, man, I hope Uncle Harry doesn't do that again this Christmas. And so this morning, can we get a biblical view of what family is? Because when you become a Christian, when your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, when you're in that book we were talking about, you see, my name is written. You're part of the family of God. They call us Christians. They expect us to fellowship, all right? Now, fellowship, your next point, is participation in God's family gathering. Notice it doesn't say coming and sitting and listening to a message. It says participation, all right? Now, if I go to the Strong's Concordance here, as soon as I find it, and I look at that word, koinonia, fellowship, it means fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, interaction. The share which one has in anything, participation. Interaction, fellowship, intimacy. Do you get the picture? It's not getting lost in a crowd. It's not being known, but it's being known instead by the people around you. It's called fellowship, koinonia. When we come to church, you see, we have to participate in God's family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. It's something we don't get in church today. It's something that we need in church today. Now look at your next point. God the Father is head of our family. Jesus is our brother. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. Now I hope I don't have to bring you scripture to tell you that God is our Father, right? Philip says to Jesus, you know, he says, show us the Father. And then Jesus says, have I been with you so long, Philip? They said, teach us to pray. Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven. They said, you shouldn't be picking grain on the Sabbath. Jesus said, my Father's at work and I am at work as well. Jesus said, the words I speak aren't my words, they're the words of my Father. So the head of our family is God the Father. We can trust Him. Then Jesus is our brother. Romans chapter 8, all right? Verse 29. Everybody knows Romans 8, 28. You know, all things work for the good for those who love God. But do you know in 29 it says, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that's Jesus, that He, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Turn to somebody and say, Jesus is my brother. It's just the most awesome, crazy, big, hairy idea, isn't it? And you can literally say to anyone or anything that comes against you, if you're not careful, I'm going to ask my brother for help. And nobody has a brother that's that powerful. And that loves him more than Jesus. All right? Now it says, the Holy Spirit is our guide. All right? John chapter 16. The Gospel of John chapter 16. Verse 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, these are Jesus' words, He will guide you into the truth and will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. Everybody wants to know what's going to happen. Everybody's looking for an edge. Our family should know exactly what's going to happen. You want to know what's happening in the world right now, church? Good is evil, and evil's good. Anybody notice that? I notice it more every day. They don't even report things. Anybody read the news? The news, there's earthquake after earthquake after earthquake. I don't even see it in reports. And this little thing will pop up in the corner of my screen saying, there was a 7.7 earthquake last. And I'm like, why aren't they shouting this from their rooftops? Isn't that what's going to happen as Jesus prepares to come back? That's what my Bible says. If there's anyone in the world that should be prepared for the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it's His family. Hey, did you hear? Our brother's coming back. And we need to understand this. Now, as we go through the text back in Acts chapter 2, look at your next point. Fellowship creates an atmosphere for miracles. You see this? Everyone, verse 43, was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. What was going on? They were meeting together. They were having fellowship. They were interacting with each other. People were coming saying, I have this problem. I have this problem. The doctor said, I don't have any prayer. You know, they'll keep me comfortable. You know how many times I've heard that? And that's years ago, and the people are here, healthy as can be right now today. Isn't that interesting? See, don't believe the lie. Believe in Jesus. Trust Him, church. Fellowship, when we come together, we declare our allegiance to Jesus. We worship together. He's number one in our lives. And then we interact with each other and we share what's going on in our lives with each other. It creates an atmosphere for miracles because Jesus is here in our midst.
I don't know, you know, why should I go to church?
Come and hang around with my brother Jesus. Come and be with us in fellowship. Things happen. The next one, fellowship meets needs. Do you see what it says in the text again? It says they were selling things and giving to those who had need or who were in want. They were bringing forth their tithes and their offerings. And then the church had the means to take care of those who were in need. A true fellowship, an authentic Acts chapter 2 church. When people walk through the door and they have real needs, they discern and they do everything they can to meet the need. If we do that, folks, this place is going to be packed. Are you listening? And instead, in the United States of America, we've whittled church down to a place to come and be entertained and leave. And they say, give so we can build more, and give so we can do this, and give so this can happen. It's all wrong. Give because it's what God requires. He is your Lord, and He is your Savior, and we should have the resources to help others. You're part of the family. Fellowship meets needs. It's not all physical needs. Anybody here ever been depressed? I'm getting texts this morning of people who are depressed, trying to figure out what's going on in their life. Why do they exist? You know, do I have a purpose? If I could just talk them into coming to church, somebody'd probably walk up to them and say, man, it's good to see you today. Glory to God. Am I glad you are here, man? How are things going? You see, but the enemy says, don't go there. There's no reason to go there, right? Yes, there is. You need the fellowship. You need to be exhorted. You need to be encouraged.
Got to make sure I don't miss any spots here. Fellowship keeps Christian hearts sincere. See what it says again in the text. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Glad and sincere hearts. That word sincere literally means to keep the path clear so that you don't stumble. So that the enemy can't trip you up. So that you think with the mind of Christ.
You wouldn't believe how many times I go into Steve's office or I go talk to Bill or I talk to Matt and I talk to staff and I say, if I'm wrong about this, speak up, you see. Stop me before I jump off the cliff. Keep my heart sincere. Keep it right. Now, I'm sorry about this word I have to tell you about right now. Are you ready? Everybody brace yourself. True, authentic church fellowship creates accountability. Oh, I'm out of here now. Being accountable. You know, brother or sister, I know you're angry right now and you'd like to take that person out behind a tool shed and lay hands on them, but maybe that's not the best thing right now. Maybe we should speak to God in prayer and ask Him to deal with this. You see, there's accountability. You know, I saw you over here doing this the other day, and I just want to come to you in love and say that probably isn't the best place to be. See, that's family. I can remember, you know, I have an older brother. I go to my older brother. I go, hey, this is going wrong with my car, and this is it, and I think I'm going to tear it apart. And he goes, just wait a minute. That's what he always said to me. Just wait a minute. Let's think this through, okay? And I can't tell you how many times he's kept me from ripping something apart and getting into a big mess by going, just a second, have you tried this? Have you done this? Have you done that? And he'll get it fixed for me without turning a wrench. Come on, folks. That's what church fellowship is about. Next point, authentic church fellowship creates and maintains joy. You see what it says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people, you see? It creates and it maintains joy. When you leave here today and people say, so what'd you do this morning? Don't go, oh, well, I went to church, you know. Went to church, it was kind of dull and slow. No, it's not. You should say, I went to church and I declared my allegiance to Jesus Christ and I took part in our family, you see. And I talked to my brothers and sisters and I was encouraged and I encouraged others. And I got to tell you, man, they sang a new song today that had me. I wanted to dance and whistle. I did whistle. And people are going to go, that was at church? Oh, yeah. I remember years ago, they came out to my farm, and the witnesses came to my farm, and they were trying to convert me, you see. And they said, we never have encountered a happy Christian. I said, you've seen one now. And I started talking to them about Jesus, and they said, thank you, sir. We'll see you later. And, you know, they never came back. They marked my farm on their map. Don't go back there. He's a happy Christian. But hear the point. It creates, it maintains joy. And the world out there should say, I like that family. Could I come and see what goes on there and say, yeah, come on, I'll sit with you. I mean, it's alive in that place. Jesus is in that place. Fellowship attracts and converts souls. Do you see what it says here? They added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, church, all you have to do is live your life filled with joy and faith and tell people about Jesus and model the relationship you have with Christ and the relationship we have with each other. See, how'd you accomplish that? Well, I talked to somebody at church and we talked it over, and this is how we did it. Please hear me, church. This is powerful. The church is supposed to be the light of the world. This fellowship is supposed to hold back the darkness and shine forth the light of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We can't do it alone. We have to stick together. We need to be together. It should attract and convert souls. People should say, I don't know what you have. I saw how you went through that flat tire. I saw how you went through losing your job. I saw how you went through this financial crisis. I saw how you went through this when this member of your family disowned you. I saw how you went through that, and you didn't blow your top, and you didn't lose it. What is it that you have? What do you have that helps you get through that? And then what you do is you start up your gospel truck and you drive in there and unload the gospel. Why? Because I'm in fellowship. Because I have brothers and sisters. Because God the Father is the head of my family. And Jesus is my brother. And the Holy Spirit is guiding me. And when I wanted to throw my wrench, you see? The Spirit of God says a man who has no control over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls. And so I held on to the wrench and I set it down nicely. I went to the hospital and I got my finger sewed back on. Right? God's Word tells us to continue in fellowship. Continue in fellowship. Chad, do you have that clip from one of my favorite all-time movies?
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
No man is a failure who has friends. See, think about this movie for a minute. George Bailey thought he was a failure. Mr. Potter stole $8,000 from him. He didn't know he stole it. Thought Uncle Billy lost it. He thought his life was over. Potter said to him, "You're worth more dead than you are alive." And God sent Clarence Oddbody. And George, who thought he was broke, and over $8,000, was in the depths of despair. Found out at the end of that movie that he had friends. I want you to think about this for a minute. His dreams were to get on a plane or to get on a boat or to get on a train and to get out of Bedford Falls. Do you realize he never got out of Bedford Falls? By the world standard, he was one terrible disaster and a failure. But the honest truth is, the only standard that came up against Potter and the wiles of the devil and the world that would beat people down was the Bailey building and loan. And then he got to see what his life was like and what it accomplished in life by the way they showed him what it would have been like if he were not here. Church fellowship is you coming together, all of us coming together, taking our gifts and putting them in place and living as a family so that when somebody is in need, you have the fellowship and you have the connections through the body of Christ, and people will come and they will help you. I've experienced this over the last 30 years. It's amazing how people have helped me and come alongside me. And it should be happening to each and every one of us in here. As part of the body of Christ. Now I said that the Word of God tells us to continue in fellowship. Genesis 2:18. It is not good for man to be alone. And all of you are thinking about marriage. Yes, it is about marriage in context, but it's still not good for men to be alone. Or women. We need help. We were born to have fellowship. God has fellowship. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. We're not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to have fellowship. We're supposed to interact. Proverbs 11 and verse 14, all right? 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls. Oh, what do I want to read that one in Washington today? But victory is won through what? Many advisors. Or in the old King James, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Do you have anybody counseling you according to the Word of God? If you're in fellowship in the body of Christ, somebody's going to say to you, brother, sister, this is what God says. Hebrews 10:25. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Oh my goodness, do we have to stop and look at the world today and say, did the writer of Hebrews know what was going to take place? I think maybe. What do you think? But encouraging one another, and all the more is what? You see the day approaching. What day? When Jesus comes back, when there's judgment, where all the corruption in this world is dealt with right now. Which side are you going to be on? I don't know about you folks, I'm going to be on the faith side. I'm going to go, Jesus, I knew you were coming back. I knew you were going to deal with them. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Woo! Am I glad I didn't jump on the wrong side of that line? Am I glad somebody in church said, don't do that, man. Stick with me. Come on. Come on. Just come with me one more day. You know, I used to have a friend. He'd call me up and say, I'm going to go out to the bars. I'm going to get drunk. I'm going to do what everybody else is doing because that's what everybody in the world is doing. And I used to say, why don't you wait? You can always wreck your life. I said, you can always wreck your life. But I said, you can't always get it back. So let's go one more night where you do the right thing. And he started calling me Jiminy Cricket. I must have had the conversation with him 20 times. And he would say, okay. And I got to the realization that's why he would call me. He had to have somebody say to him, don't do it. You can always ruin your life. But I'm here to tell you, not tonight. Don't wreck it tonight. I have a friend in a Bible study who says, if you don't go to church, the only voice you're going to hear is your own. Everybody here know that can be dangerous. I love me so much, I'll give myself anything. And so we need fellowship. Why church? So you can have fellowship, so you can be part of God's family. You can get good counsel. You can be filled with joy. You're in an atmosphere where you could have miracles happen. You can be where God the Father is your Father and Jesus is your brother and you get guidance from the Holy Spirit. I don't know why we should go to church. Man, have I given you some reasons today, huh? Now that I've given you some reasons, let's do what we've been talking about. It's only 10:02 right now. We shouldn't be done here till 10:15, okay? All right, I'm just telling you this right now. Eating the Lord's Supper together is part of fellowship. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? The word participation there is koinonia, fellowship. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. Turn to somebody and say, you're a loafer. See, you might remember that later today. So here's what we're going to do right now, church. We're going to practice what we've been preaching, okay? And so we've got elders and leaders, deacons going to come up, and they're going to man the tables here. And this is what I want you to do. And this is an open communion. If you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to come up here and you take communion with us. And there's only one rule. You can't do it alone. Yeah. You can't do it alone. You have to join with somebody. This is called fellowship. And so this is what I want you to do. I want you to form some little groups, all right? You can know them, maybe you don't know them. Maybe you want to eat with a stranger today. By the time you're done eating, they won't be a stranger. They'll be your brother and sister. So what I want you to do, you're going to come up here, you're going to form your groups. You're going to take the cup, you're going to take the bread, you're going to go back somewhere. Don't all congregate around here, it gets real crowded. You're going to go back, and I want you to take time to pray and eat the bread and drink the cup, and then I don't want you to leave. I want you to hang around and talk and have fellowship. If somebody needs prayer, pray. If somebody's so happy they can't stand it, tell everybody how happy you are. And my heart just tells me that God's going to go to work, okay? So, Father, we thank you for your word. The message is over now. And, Lord, help us to participate in real, authentic Christian fellowship. In Jesus' name. Amen.